1500 and 2000 UTC.
Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program very much. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Tuesday, July 19, 2022. South Sudan government says it was surprised by the U.S. move to suspend funds for peace implementation.
We are surprised, we are shocked by the action of the American government and the fact that, yes, we know the world is in crisis and outside America has its own problems.
And some farmers in Western Equatorial State say they need seeds for food production.
Recycling the same seeds for 6 years. And because I never known where they're selling these quality seeds from.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government says it's shocked by the United States government's decision to end support for the country's peace process monitoring mechanism. The government spokesman says the decision came at a time when the government is making what he calls significant progress in implementing the peace agreement. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
On Friday, the U.S. Department of State announced it was ending support for the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission and the Ceasefire and Transitional Security Arrangements Monitoring and Verification Mechanism, saying South Sudan's leaders had failed to implement commitments they made to bring peace to South Sudan. Information Minister Michael McQuay, who is also the government spokesperson, says the U.S. decision came as a shock to the government.
We are surprised, we are shocked by the action of the American government and the fact that we know the world is in crisis and outside America has its own problems. But should not anchor its decision on the problems of South Sudan. It can decide its own way, but not to anchor it on the failure of the government of South Sudan and the outside they are not supporting. We are shocked and we are surprised. Why should America take such a decision at this crucial moment when we are about to exit from this crisis?
McQuay insists South Sudan's leaders have not failed, arguing the government was making significant progress in implementing the peace deal when the U.S. decided to stop funding the country's monitoring mechanism.
I don't believe that it is that they are withdrawing because the government has failed. If the government has failed and we fail to implement the agreement, does it mean that we are forgotten, we are thrown to the dustbin, or what? What does it mean? What are they after when they withdraw from supporting these mechanisms at this crucial moment?
Last week, acting Charge Affairs at the U.S. Embassy in Juba, William Flens, said the U.S. funded the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission and Ceasefire and Transitional Security Arrangements Monitoring and Verification Mechanism since they were created and gave them nearly $145 million. The U.S. said it will continue to provide significant assistance to save lives and reduce the suffering of the people of South Sudan, including about $1 million in humanitarian and development assistance. In his 11th Independence Anniversary speech, President Salva Kiir said he was concerned about some partners' decision to scale back the support of the mechanism, saying they are vital to carrying out remaining tasks in the peace deal. McQuay called on other donors to step up and support the South Sudanese peace process.
My appeal to the other partners and people of goodwill, good friends of South Sudan who have the goodwill for the people of South Sudan to come in for the support of all the mechanisms and take over whatever was being funded by the Americans so that we continue with the implementation of the agreement. Not that only But even the support should be inclusive of the nationals, not discriminatory like what America was doing.
When contacted for comment, Adawu Mohammed, the communication officer for the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, said he was not ready to comment on the matter, adding RJMIC will comment on the U.S. decision after a meeting of its officials on Thursday. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
South Sudan's Ministry of General Education says President Salva Kiir was shocked by the poor performance of government-run schools in the Certificate of Primary Education exams results. The ministry says public primary schools across the country did not perform well. The Deputy Education Minister says private schools have better facilities and teachers compared to the government-owned schools. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
So the first class, 10 students, one is only female, the rest are male, and all of them are from private schools, and all of the 9, the 14 are all from Jungle State.
That is South Sudan Deputy Education Minister Martin Turkey announcing the results of the 2021 Certificate of Primary Education last Friday. Turkey says none of the best performing students across the country came from public schools. He says there are several reasons why private schools rate better than public schools.
The private schools pay better, they have better facilities than public schools. Most of the teachers actually left the profession because of the poor working condition. That's why this year, as well as last year, the best performance has been from the private schools.
Turkey says President Salva Kiir and other top officials were genuinely surprised to hear how badly public schools performed.
When we took the result to be blessed by the president, he was really shocked. But we explained to him the result is in our public schools are bad, simply because the teachers are not facilitated. For us to perform better, we have to put the teaching profession attractive as it used to be.
Turkey says the government is working, in his words, day and night to ensure public schools are well equipped to attract the best teachers next year. Clementine Kiden Arcangelo, headmistress of Juba One Boys Primary School, says the best people at her school scored 380 marks out of 577 marks, lower than the best student who scored 457 marks last year. Kiden says public school teachers face enormous challenges.
First of all, their salary is very, very, very little that cannot afford even anything at home. So many of the teachers has gone away from the government school to the private schools. And they're the one making these private schools to be the first. Because the private schools are paying them a good sum of money.
Kiden says 5 teachers left her school in the last 2 years. She says a teacher in a government-run school received between 5,000 and 10,000 South Sudanese pounds a month, the equivalent of $5 to $10, which she says is not nearly enough to run a family. Santi Andrew Nursery and Primary School, private school based in Bor of Jonglé State, had 8 out of 15 top 10 students in the recently released Certificate of Primary Education results. John Quirberech, Deputy Headmaster of St. Andrew, says motivating teachers is key to producing successful students.
It doesn't matter how well you teach in the field, but you need to motivate them so that you can maintain them in the field. So it's not as simple to get a good teacher. If you get them, you need to maintain them to be in the schools. You cannot control somebody that you have not even given anything.
Quir says each teacher at St. Andrew earns 50,000 South Sudanese pounds, an equivalent to $100 per month. Jube Samuel, head teacher of SMC Primary School, another private school operating in Juba, says when teachers are motivated, they deliver all of the lessons on time each academic year.
It gives a morale for the teachers to teach effectively. They may finish the syllabus on time, and it give enough time for them to do revisions before the final exams on the examination began.
For the past 5 years, teachers in public schools and some community and faith-based schools have received $40 per month as part of an European Impact Program to help underpaid school teachers stay in the classroom. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum, where the Central Committee of the Sudanese Doctors says the death toll from the intercommunal clashes in the Blue Nile State has risen to 79. A medical doctor at Adamazin Hospital says 15 critically injured patients have been airlifted to Khartoum and 50 others are being treated at the state hospital. The International Organization for Immigration, or IOM, says nearly 5,000 households displaced by the violence are in need of urgent humanitarian support. For VOA News, Michael Atit has more from Khartoum.
The Sudanese Doctors Central Committee said in a statement the death toll from the fighting in the Blue Nile State has risen to 79 after more bodies were discovered in the neighborhoods of Adamazin, Aruseris, and other towns. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus from Adamazin State Hospital, Dr. Abdullah Adam Abdullah says the death toll is likely to go higher. He says the Doctors Committee carried out post-mortem procedures on more than 60 bodies in the hospital, but other bodies were buried in residential areas.
We keep receiving reports about deaths in various neighborhoods. Some of the dead bodies have decomposed, and we need the police and public attorney's office to accompany us to collect them. We have confirmed reports from civilians that some dead bodies have been buried without post-mortem examinations.
Intercommunal clashes erupted between the Hausa and Berti tribes in the Blue Nile last Friday over the alleged killing of two farmers from the Hausa tribe. The violence then took an ethnic dimension and continued through yesterday. Sudanese authorities have deployed additional troops to the area to de-escalate the tensions between the two tribes. Dr. Adam confirms a team of surgical doctors from Federal Ministry of Health in Khartoum have come to their aid.
Medical supplies and doctors from Khartoum arrived on Monday. They are expected to carry out operations here at the hospital. Some critical cases have been flown to Khartoum for further treatment. We could not do much as the number of injuries are more than our capacity and the capacity of the hospital to deal with.
Field teams from the International Organization for Migration, or IOM, estimated between 1,800 and 2,000 households from the Hamej, Berta, Falata, Borno and Hausa tribes are displaced. Many of the displaced are sheltering in three schools building in Adamazin town. The IOM says approximately 500 households from Hamej and Berta tribes are seeking refuge across Gesan locality, while about 600 IDPs from the Hausa tribe are seeking refuge in the neighboring Senar state. Dr. Adam says the displaced families are living in a congested environment, which he warns could lead to an outbreak of diseases.
It rained yesterday and we do not have enough latrines in those hospitals. We expect a rise in the cases of malaria, cholera, and inflammatory diseases because they are exposed to rain and are living in congested areas.
Eyewitnesses in Blue Nile say violence in the area was triggered by a dispute over land ownership and grazing rights. Blue Nile State, which borders Ethiopia, is one of the strongholds of the SPLM North faction led by Malik Agar, who now serves as a member of the Sovereign Council in Khartoum as part of the Juba Peace Agreement. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some farmers in Western Equatorial State say they need seeds for food production. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what puts a smile on your face? I have a group called Lishi. It's a group full of young children. So when I dance with them, it puts a smile on my face, makes me happy.
What puts a smile on my face is good food and good people.
Okay, when I see good food and good friends around, well, I smile.
My husband, too, puts a smile on my face. He cracks jokes. He likes cracking jokes, and that makes me happy.
One thing that puts a smile on my face is to see somebody who's been in trouble or who has had great challenges, and then he has broken through, his life is better, their lives have improved, their marriages, their business. It brings joy to my heart to see people becoming better.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Authorities in Western Equatorial State say they are working to provide high-quality seeds to farmers to increase food production in the area. Majority of small-scale farmers in Western Equatorial State say lack of access to high-quality seeds has impacted food production in some parts of the state. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
37-year-old Priscilla Ruati, a small-scale farmer in Sankwa village of Yambio County, says for a long time she's been planting leftover seeds which are often poor quality. She attributes inadequate soil fertility and lack of technology for her smaller agriculture yields compared to the previous 6 years. Ruati says she now knows how to produce high-quality seeds thanks to lessons learned at a recent training workshop sponsored by the Royal Tropical Institute.
I've been recycling the same seeds for six years, and because I never known where they're selling these quality seeds from, and I've never had any idea about even where the same seeds and even where to get them from. But now through this training, I've learned where I can get seeds and the good ones.
Ruati is not the only farmer who has struggled to keep her crop yield high by using good seeds. Marco Gigidi says efforts to increase his yields are often thrust by seed recycling and relying too much on seed aid.
I used to get seeds from some NGOs on the ground. But unfortunately, these seeds are being imported from outside. The yield is not okay. Others are not germinating. So these are the challenges that have been going through.
A recent study of 2,000 farmers found that farmers in states like Western Equatoria do not plant quality seeds. According to Nicola Francesconi, an economist at the Netherlands-based Royal Tropical Institute, Francesconi says they either reuse the seeds they have or utilize seeds from humanitarian assistance organizations, which do not provide high yields. He says the shortage in seed supplies to farmers also affects food production in Yambio.
So the problem with seed aid is also the time in which the seeds are distributed. They usually, because the seeds are often procured from outside South Sudan, they're brought to Yambio, but then they arrive at the farmer at the wrong time, not when the farmer is ready to plant. Right? So this creates a lot of inefficiencies. And that's the reason why we are here with this project. We're trying to make the support, try to promote the transition from seed aid to a seed market.
To enhance seed quality, the Western Equatorial State Administration, together with the International Fertilizer Development Center, IFDC, are working to guarantee that farmers can obtain quality seeds and have the right to conserve, use, trade, and sell seeds. Justin Mateng Amos, IFDC country director, says his organization is targeting more than 1,000 farmers across four states to boost crop productivity with quality seeds.
We want to make sure about, by the lifespan of this project, about 100,000 farmers access high quality seeds and they are able to double their production. The immediate impact it will have is that the quality seeds that are used for producing these crops will be produced locally. Now it will reduce import from other countries. When you import seed from other countries, you will not be sure of the quality.
Alison Barnaba, the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Environment in Western Equatoria State, he agrees it's important to improve seed quality, but he opposes the use of chemical fertilizers.
I've seen quite a good number of the countries which has been affected deeply by these fertilizers. What do you want? You want to improve the seeds. Improving the seeds is quite different from the usage of the fertilizers on land. Because Western Equatoria, with the natural fertilizers on the ground, what is so important is only to add value to the products the farmers are producing, but not to add chemicals to the soil.
Barnaba says the state has instilled a lab testing center where all seeds coming into the state will be assessed before being distributed to farmers. He noticed that modified cassava has been big loss to farmers. In addition to having quality seeds, Barnaba says it is crucial to clear roads so that farmers can get their goods to the market. Western Equatoria State, which has lush vegetation and fertile rich soil, is considered South Sudan's breadbasket. It produces millet, sorghum, maize, groundnuts, and several other crops. For VOA News, I am Sheila Oponi in Yambio.
Angelina Nahae Lolie, who is originally from South Sudan, is part of the refugee team at the World Athletics Championship going on now in Eugene, Oregon. She competed in the 1,500 meters at the World Championship, but did not qualify for the finals. She spoke to Prince Nesta about the prospect for her career.
So we were just given a random training. We couldn't know if you are good in 815. But thank God enough, we had a coach. We were brought the coach. Then the coach will come and give us the trial after some training and tell us, this is what you can do better in this distance, 815. And that is what he told me, that you have to train for 15. Maybe you might do it better. Mm. Yeah, but I feel like I can go for more, not just only in 15. As long as you are a runner, you know you can go for any, especially when you are middle distance, you can even proceed to the long distance.
Incredible. And so as time goes, do you think possibly you're looking to transition from possibly 1,500 meters to other long distance or middle distance run?
In fact, I have already been competing road race, like in 10 kilometer. Though I have not put a lot of effort on training for the 10 kilometer because I was still told to focus on the 1500 because sometimes it is hard to mix a road race and field event. But to me, I have that desire, I have that call that I can do very well in long distance. And that is also my plan. If I go back from next year, I'll be trying to mix to get endurance in 5,000 or maybe 10,000. Then also, I come to 15 because I felt they can share both the speed endurance and endurance.
Oh, fantastic. There's an athlete listening to us right now and they'd just like to be like you and they'd like to also know how you met, you know, the refugee team.
Okay, in 2015, first of all, in 2014, Tekela came and organized and informed the staff of UNHCR and NWF that she would love to see people running. So if you don't mind, organize the race so that people, they can come and run. And they pass the message in the community that whoever feel like to run, you can come, whether you can represent Congo, Ethiopia, South Sudan, any country, or maybe Uganda, just come all then. I remember in 2014, one of my friend came and told me that, oh, have you heard that there is a trial? And then I told her, I have no idea. And she told me, like, oh, you should be having a place to represent. Though South Sudan, the list is already full, so you have to look for another chance. Since I have that feeling of competing, so one of my friend told me, oh, you can come and represent Uganda, because she knew me in school. Some time back, we had one competition in school whereby I was representing a school in high school. So during that time, we had the trial, and I managed to to be the top two. I mean in top three, because number one and number two, the two Kenyan ladies took, and I became number three. For that time, I realized, I told myself, oh, if I'm the first, which means if I'm number three, in the refugee camp, which means I was number one in general. The two Kenyans, number one and number two. From that time, I start to appreciate myself that, oh, I can do well in running. Though it's not something that I could know, maybe running is part of the competition. Mm-hmm. That is something I never knew. In 2015, when now Tekla came and organized a race that she will need a team to take to Nairobi for a training, I decided to join. Though by that time I was very busy because I was concentrated with my neck examination, which is Kenya National Examination for Form 4. So after I joined the trial, I managed to be number one in 15 kilometers. So now we are told you will be joining Nairobi camp, the rest of the people who are selected there, so that you can see how far you will go. By that time, you know, not most of the people, they could know that they can run. So it was only a beginning for us. You know, what I came to realize, even you cannot start running when you are maybe somebody who's grown up already. Maybe your body might not be fit to do so. But for us, we could never lose hope, because we say, if this is a beginning for us, let me have a taste of what might be the next thing in the future.
Wow, the next thing in the future. And looks like, you know, the future is going to be so bright for you. I mean, you're really doing incredible right now, representing the refugee team in the ongoing World Championships taking place here in Eugene, Oregon. As a competitive athlete, you know, being a world-class athlete, what abilities do you think possibly separates you from the rest?
I think the first thing is discipline. Being disciplined is very important for any somebody who's doing sport, because when you are being disciplined, means that you need to follow a program of a coach, you need to respect, you need to love what you are doing, you need to be so honest with your work, and you need to be dedicated, you need to be determined, because if you don't have those qualities, then you just need to forget what you are doing.
That's Angelina Nahai Lole, a South Sudanese participating in the refugee team at the World Athletics Championship going on now in Eugene, Oregon. She spoke to Prince Nesta. That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now leave you with the Rhymers and the song Children of the Soil. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking time to be with us this evening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Fighting for peace, good enough.
We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages, damages, we are the children of the soil. We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages, damages, we are the children of the soil.
I taught me sport like a team. We civilians get the support. Nothing sleeps without water. Civilians are like a water body. A nation to develop, not a single fashion, tribe, or region for paternity. We need to struggle as a team. People remember we suffered. Unite to heal their wounds. In order to repair the damages,
we are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages,
damages,
damages, we are the children of the soil. We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages,
damages,
we are the children of the soil.
When we remember the religious leaders, the elders, the soldiers, and when we remember the women, the children, the youth, we were lucky. We need the spirit of nationalism. We but not I alone. Stop the war, we need peace.
We are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. Children of the soil, we are fighting for equality, fraternity, and liberty. In order to repair the damages.
prostitution. John Karam, Al Jibul and Salam, Fistu Dajadi,
Safakir,
Kungoi, Gobudu Asaya de Maniawa,
Waniga,
Samir Gita, Sabitu Taku Maniawa,
Commandas,
Komisonas, Sabitu Taku.